Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Thursday class, March 23rd, 2023, 1 John.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. Our study began halfway through verse 10 of chapter 3. It will continue on through the third chapter, the fourth chapter, and the fifth chapter. The greatest teaching on the doctrine of virtue, love, in all of the Word of God. That's the ultimate objective for each one of us as church-age saints, as royal family of God. In the short time while you are here, the ultimate objective is to live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, advance to maturity, and have virtue love brought to completion in your hearts. That's why you're here, in that very short space of time. So in preparation to worship our Lord this evening, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have magnified your word over all of your name. And therefore, the word of God is more important than the very air that we breathe. And as we assemble this evening to fellowship in the word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. 1 John 3, let's start the corrected translation at verse 19. Verse 19. And so by means of this impersonal love for all, we shall know that we are of the truth, and we shall have confidence in our hearts before Him, before God the Father. Verse 20. Because if our heart condemns us, that is the believer out of fellowship with God, living in the cosmic system. You're living in the cosmic system, your heart will condemn you. You have a sune deesis, which means to know with, your conscience, norms and standards that tell you this is right and that is wrong. Tells you that this is sin. So because if our heart condemns us, third class condition, maybe it does, maybe it doesn't. Bear in mind that God is greater than our heart. In fact, He has always known all things. Verse 21. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, there is the believer in fellowship with God, living the unique spiritual life of the church age, then we keep on having confidence before God. And then verse 22, we have only exegeted half of the verse, but it sounds like this. And whatever we ask in prayer, we receive from Him, God the Father, because we continually pay attention to, obey, fulfill His mandates, His commands. In verse 22, when it says, whatever we ask in prayer, we receive from Him, this is a phenomenal prayer promise. This is a prayer promise. But it's not true for all believers. If you're living in the cosmic system, this is not true for you. This is a prayer promise for believers who are living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. He lives his life by the power of the Spirit of God. He consistently and faithfully assembles in a sound Bible teaching church and metabolizes Bible doctrine, getting maximum metabolized doctrine in his heart. He has virtue love brought to completion in his heart. Personal love for God the Father, the great motivating virtue. That motivates, that has to come first. And then that motivates impersonal love for all mankind, believers and unbelievers alike, and occupation with Jesus Christ. This results in a powerful and effective prayer life that accomplishes much. James 5:16, the prayer of a grace-righteous believer is powerful and effective and accomplishes much. The grace-righteous believer is the spiritually mature believer. Personal love for God the Father motivates you to habitually pray. All prayers are directed to the Father, and you have personal love for God the Father. You're constantly thinking about Him, and so you will go to prayer every day. Several times during the day, because of your personal love for God the Father. That will motivate you. You will want to pray. You will habitually pray. And your impersonal love for all enables you to have powerful and effective prayer for others. And your occupation with Jesus Christ makes prayer a top priority in your spiritual life. And so, verse 22, again, so far says, and whatever we ask in prayer, we receive from Him, God the Father. And now there's two reasons, two contingencies. The first reason, because we continually obey His mandates, His commands. You see, this prayer promise is for the winner believer. This is for the believer living the spiritual life, advancing to spiritual maturity. Because we have a contingency. Because. And there's two reasons, two contingencies. Whatever we ask in prayer, we receive from Him, God the Father. First reason, first contingency. Because we continually obey His mandates, His commands. We have here the causal conjunction hati. H-O-T-I, hati. It is used as the causal conjunction here. It is correctly translated because it introduces the cause or the reason for the powerful and effective prayer life of the spiritually mature believer. Reason number one. Because we tereo God's mandates. The first reason. Great word, tereo. T long E R E long O. Tereo. And tereo literally means to keep watch over or to guard. In fact, it was a verb used for guarding prisoners. And then it came to mean to keep, to observe, to fulfill, to obey, to pay attention to. It is especially used for paying attention to and obeying the mandates of the Word of God. We have that word, great, another great word, entele. E-N-T-O-L, long E, entole. And this is the Greek word for commands, mandates, command, the genitive singular of autos, his mandates, God's mandates. And these mandates include the mandates that God has given us in the church age to live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. Mandate after mandate after mandate. Everyone in the imperative mood. Ephesians 5:18, the mandate. Keep on being filled with the Spirit. The word is plerao in the Greek. It was a word used for wind filling the sails of a ship and empowering it, driving it through the water. So when we say, keep on being filled with the Spirit, God is saying, keep on being empowered in your life by God the Holy Spirit. See, the spiritual life is a supernatural way of life, demands supernatural power for its execution. That supernatural power is God the Holy Spirit. So we're given a mandate. If you want to have powerful and effective prayer, then you have to fulfill the mandate to keep on being empowered in your life by God the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 5:18. Galatians 5:16, another mandate, imperative mood. Walk by the agency of the Spirit. That is, live your life by the power of God the Holy Spirit. Then in Ephesians 4:30, a negative command. Stop grieving the Spirit. How do you grieve the Spirit? Well, when you make bad decisions. Bad decisions and get into Satan's cosmic system. You sin, and as a result, you grieve the Spirit. 1 Thessalonians 5:19, stop quenching the Holy Spirit. So here are four mandates, four commands, all related to our spiritual life. If you're ever going to have a powerful and effective prayer life, and even appreciate it, enjoy it, it's actually for the believer who advances to maturity, this is a great, great part of his life. Every day, something he looks forward to. Looks forward to taking that time every single day. And then we have 2 Peter 3:18, another mandate. Grow up. This is spiritual growth, a mandate for spiritual growth. Grow up in grace, grace orientation, and knowledge, doctrinal orientation of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's a mandate from God. If you're ever going to have powerful and effective prayer life, then this must be reality, that you have grown up in grace, grace orientation, grown up in knowledge, doctrinal orientation of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Hebrews 10:25, another mandate. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the habit of some is. And by the way, that's happening more and more and more and more all the time among doctrinal types. And they have this thing, you know, well, I'll get it on email or MP3 or whatever. And for a lot of them, yes, you can get it that way. But there are so many believers that totally 100% abuse that. Oh, they have the email and it's on their computer and they have the MP3 and they're listening, and then the dog comes and grabs a hold of them, pulls their leg and says, you know, I need some food. Oh, say, okay, well, I'll go give you something, whatever you need. And then you're sitting there, and then the phone rings, and you answer the phone, well, to hell with you. Now, if the dog came in here and grabbed your leg and pulled you out, I'd just say, keep going! And don't come back! And if you have a, don't bring your phones in here. If it rings in here, unless it's for me, well, I just tell them Pastor Olson is teaching right now. That's all verboten. But when you are not face to face, all kinds of things. Friends come in, other family members come in, you start talking about this and that, and then, well, then you gotta do a little vacuuming and cleaning, you gotta get some food ready, you gotta do this, and so you just, this is not number one. See, one thing about coming in face to face, you have to have manners, courtesy, thoughtfulness, concentration, maximum concentration. When it's face to face, it's maximum concentration on the teaching of the Word of God. Yeah, it you can do it non face to face, but it to do it the right way, very, very few can do it the right way. Very, very few do it the right way. And they abuse something. So, yeah. So that's why we have this mandate. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the habit of some is. These mandates also include the mandates to have virtue love brought to completion in your heart. Over and over and over again in the God-breathed scriptures, we have these mandates. Mandates to all of us to have virtue love brought to completion in our heart. What is that mandate? That's the mandate for the ultimate objective of why you're here. This is why you're here. For example, John 13, 34 and 35. A new command I give you. Love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Impersonal love for all. Virtue love brought to completion in your heart. John 15, verse 9. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now abide in my love, virtue love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my virtue love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. John 15:12. My command is this, love one another with virtue love, as I have loved you. John 15:19. This is my command, love one another. 1 John 2:3-5. 1 John 2:3-5, verse 3, and by means of this, we know that we have come to know Him, personal love for God the Father and occupation with Christ, if we obey His commands, His mandates. The one who keeps on maintaining, claiming that I know God, personal love for God the Father and occupation with Christ, but he does not obey His commands and mandates, he is a liar, and the absolute truth of the Word of God is not in him. But if anyone keeps on observing, fulfilling, obeying his Word, the mandates of God's Word, then the love of God, virtue love, has truly been brought to completion in him, in his heart. And by this, we know, we realize, we appreciate, we understand that we are abiding in him. We are living the spiritual life. 1 John 3:23, coming up in our exegesis. 1 John 3:23, and this is his, by the way, it's the very same word. Every time we have command or commandment, it's the same word we have here, entele. And this is his entele, his command, his mandate. First of all, a mandate for the whole world that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ. And then the next mandate is for those who believe in Jesus Christ. And the mandate is to love one another just as he commanded us. 1 John 3:23. And then 1 John 4. 1 John 4, verse 20 and 21. If someone says, I love God, and I hear that from all kinds of fundy believers, even some doctrinal types who don't love God. If someone says, I love God, and hates his fellow believer, he's a liar. For the one who does not love his fellow believer whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment, this entele, we have from him, that the one who loves God should love his fellow believer also. And then we have Ephesians 5. Turn over to Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5, verses 1 and 2. Mandate, imperative mood, be imitators of God. And therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of virtue love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. So, also these mandates in our 1 John 3:21 include all the mandates to have virtue love brought to completion in our hearts. So we have, so far we have, and whatever we ask in prayer, we receive from him, God the Father, because, here's the first reason, because we continually obey and fulfill his mandates, his commands. But there's a second reason or contingency. Reason number two for this powerful and effective prayer life. And do those things that are pleasing in his sight. This is the conjunction kai plus the present active indicative of poieo plus the accusative plural neuter of arrestos with the definite article, plus the improper preposition, enopion with the genitive singular of autos. Chi is a connective chi, correctly translated and. And then we have poieo. Boy, that's a really bad P there. P-O-I-E long, got a little bit of a hurry. Poieo, as the verb, means to do, to produce, to perform, to bring about. To do, to produce, to perform, to bring about. And then we have arrestos. A-R-E-S-T-O-S. Arrestos. And arrestos means pleasing things. What is pleasing? The things that are pleasing. pleasing things, what is pleasing, the things that are pleasing. The improper preposition, enopion plus auto, means before Him, God the Father, in the sight of Him, that is, in the opinion and judgment of Him, God the Father. Enopion auto, before Him, God the Father, in the sight of Him, in the opinion or judgment or thinking of Him, God the Father. So, our verse 22 in corrected translation, great, great verse, and a great prayer promise. A prayer promise that I hope is reality for all of you. There's no reason why it isn't a prayer promise reality for all of you. You have no excuses. You are fed the Word of God 5 times a week. You have every opportunity to assemble with positive volition and genuine humility to respond to the teaching of the absolute truth of God's Word, to grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ and advance to maturity and have virtue, love brought to completion in your heart. There's no excuse for any of you. Doesn't mean all of you have accomplished that, but you have no excuse. Corrected translation, and whatever we ask in prayer, we receive from Him, God the Father, because, first contingency, first reason, because we continually obey and fulfill His mandates, His command. The second reason, the second contingency, and we keep on doing the things that are pleasing in His sight, in His thinking and judgment. Two contingencies. Great. Great prayer promise. One. Powerful and effective prayer is based on obeying the mandates of the Word of God and doing what is pleasing in His sight. There you go. Powerful and effective prayer is based on obeying the mandates of the Word of God and doing what is pleasing in His sight. We have people call from all over the United States, all over the U.S., call to ask to be put on our prayer list. I don't know that happens in any church, but it happens here. Why? Because the word's gotten out. At that church, when they pray, God answers. So, I'm going to get my name on that prayer list. So we have people on the prayer list from all over the United States. And I'm happy to pray for them. I don't know many of the people at all. Haven't ever met them. But I pray for them. Every single day I pray for them. In concentrated prayer. Pray for every single one of them. And we have seen so much answers to prayer. Now, sometimes the answer is no. But anyway, you get an answer. God always will answer you, either yes or no. Powerful and effective prayer is based on obeying the mandates of the Word of God and doing what is pleasing in His sight. Two. Powerful and effective prayer is the result of fulfilling the ultimate objective of the spiritual life, having virtue love brought to completion in our hearts. Powerful and effective prayer is the result of fulfilling the ultimate objective of the spiritual life, having virtue love brought to completion in our hearts. The great motivating virtue, personal love for God the Father, that's developed first. And then that results in the great functional virtue, impersonal love for all mankind, believers and unbelievers. Good, bad, and the ugly believers, good, bad, and the ugly unbelievers, and occupation with Jesus Christ. Three, prayer has neither meaning nor power unless we obey the mandates of the Word of God to live the spiritual life and keep on doing what is pleasing to God. Prayer has neither meaning nor power. There is no power unless we obey the mandates of the Word of God to live the spiritual life and keep on doing what is pleasing to God. Four. Prayer is only powerful and effective when the believer is living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. Prayer is only powerful and effective when the believer is living the spiritual life by the spiritual skill. Six, powerful and effective prayer is the result. It's a result of living the spiritual life, advancing to spiritual maturity. Powerful and effective prayer is the result of living the spiritual life and advancing to spiritual maturity. Seven, all effective prayer warriors, and we have some great prayer warriors in Upland Bible Church, all effective prayer warriors have virtue love brought to completion in their hearts. All effective prayer warriors have virtue love brought to completion in their hearts. Eight, prayer offered while the believer is living in the cosmic system, interlocking systems of arrogance, interlocking systems of hatred, cannot and will not be answered. Prayer offered while the believer is living in the cosmic system, interlocking systems of arrogance and interlocking systems of hatred, cannot and will not be answered, except for one prayer. The problem-solving device of rebound, 1 John 1:9. If we acknowledge our sins to God, He, God, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Instantly we restored to fellowship with God, the filling of the Spirit, and our spiritual life. God will answer that. So 1 John 3:22, great, great prayer promise. And whatever we ask in prayer, we receive from Him, God the Father, because, reason number one, because we continually obey and fulfill His mandates, His commands. And two, reason number two, and we keep on doing the things that are pleasing in His sight. Now that brings us to, what does the Bible have to say about pleasing? Now, first of all, I have a very pleasing personality. Some of you haven't seen it yet, but I have a very pleasing personality. It has nothing to do with my personality, by the way. I've gone through this doctrine several times, and I can't find anything about Pastor Olson having a pleasing personality. The doctrine of pleasing. Now, we're not doing point one, but first of all, we're going to go through etymology. Etymology is words in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, in the Hebrew and in the Greek, that first you start with those words, and then you look up every passage where those words are used and pull together a doctrine. And I start out with Hebrew. And the Hebrew word that's used for pleasing is kafetz. C-H-A-P-H-E-T-S. Kafetz. This is the Hebrew word, and it means to delight in, to take pleasure in, to be pleased with. To delight in, to take pleasure in, to be pleased with. So you look up, I look up, kafetz, every time it's used, and see those verses and get those organized. And then we go to the Greek. There are several words in the Greek used for pleasing. First of all, there is the verb aresko. A-R-E-S-K, long O. Aresko. Aresko means to please or to strive to please. So there's the verb aresko, to please, to strive to please. There is also the adjective arestos, and that's the adjective we have here. Do you need some Kleenexes? I got a whole box up here. Okay. Good catch both those times. A little bit on the back of your head, being diffused. There you go. Arestos is the adjective we have in our verse, 1 John 3:22, pleasing. And when used substantively as a noun, it means pleasing things, or what is pleasing, or the things that are pleasing. And then there is anthropareskos. That's a 25 center there. A-N-T-H-R, long O. P-A-R-E-S-K-O-S. Anthropareskos. Now, as an adjective, it's an adjective that in the scriptures is used as a substantive, a noun. It's a compound term made up of anthropos, man, and areskos, to please. It's a compound word, to please man, to be a man pleaser. This is the translated in your Bible, man pleaser. Not good. Not good. You don't ever want to be a man pleaser. It's always used negatively in the Word of God. This is a person who tries to please men at the sacrifice of truth, of principle, of virtue, of honor. It's always used in a bad way in the Word of God. God does not want any of us to be man pleasers. Especially the communicator of the Word of God. He must not be a man pleaser. I am here not to please you. I am here to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. I am His slave. And I love it. I love it. I am the slave of Jesus Christ. And I wouldn't have anything else. I don't want manumission. I am His slave. And it's the greatest place to be in ever. The slave of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm here to please Him. I'm not here to please you. Now you see, there are a lot of pastors, they study a passage and they go, oh, this will step on some of my congregation's toes. So I'm not going to teach this. What is that? That pastor is a man pleaser. I have a lot of word for him. He's an anthropareskos. He's a man pleaser. Oh, this might step on somebody's toes, so I'm not going to. Well, I come across these passages too, and I say, yeah, this will probably step on this one and that one and that one. All right. Did you buckle your seatbelt? Buckle your seat, because I'm far better to offend people than to offend my God. So I will teach exactly what the Word of God says. Anthropareskos, man pleaser, not good. And then we have eudokeo. E-U-D-O-K-E long O. Eudokeo. El means good or well, and it means to be well pleased. Special verb, to be well pleased. And then there is the adjective apodektos. A-P-O-D-E-K-T-O-S. Apodektos. And apodektos means acceptable and pleasing. Now, these are the words that a pastor, very few do this, they get these words, they look up every time these words are used in the scriptures, look up those scriptures, put down all those verses, and then correlate and get it put together into a doctrine. Well, that's the etymology. It's very, very, very important. The doctrine has to come from the God-breathed scriptures. And so the faithful pastor who had been properly prepared for the ministry studies the original autograph to communicate the truth of God's Word so that you can be benefited by what the Word of God says, not by what somebody says in a book or not what somebody says in a commentary. I'll never forget when I was at Dallas Theological Seminary. I was majoring in Hebrew but minoring in Greek. The head of the Greek department was S. Lewis Johnson. S. Lewis Johnson was also a good friend of Colonel Thame. And every time the colonel would come to Dallas, he and S. Lewis Johnson would go out for lunch. And then the colonel would ask S. Lewis, how are my boys doing? Because everybody knew. They called us Thamey's Weenies, affectionately called. How are my boys doing? And then S. Lewis Johnson would say, he would just give them the straight scoop. And I was in S. Lewis Johnson's class. We were studying one of the Greek books, New Testament books. And in the passage we were in, a guy raised his hand. He said, Dr. Johnson, what is a good commentary that I could get about this passage here? And S. Lewis Johnson did not smile. He stared right through him. And he said, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. And then he explained to everybody, you don't get your doctrine that you communicate from a book, from a commentary. You get it from the Word of God. You get it from the Word of God. So study the Word of God and communicate the truth from there. Forget about the commentaries and books. All a bunch of claptrap. Oh, you might get a little bit here or there. But there's usually a lot of bad, is more bad than there is good. But not with the Word of God. There's nowhere where the Word of God has bad parts. It's all the best. So, the doctrine of pleasing. Point one. Paying attention to, obeying, fulfilling the mandates of the Word of God is pleasing to the Lord. And it results in a powerful and effective prayer life, and that's our verse, 1 John 3:22. Paying attention to, obeying, fulfilling the mandates of the Word of God is pleasing, pleasing to the Lord, and results in a powerful and effective prayer life, 1 John 3:22. And that includes obeying the mandates to live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. That's pleasing to the Lord. Ephesians 5:18, Galatians 5:16, Ephesians 4:30, 1 Thessalonians 5:19, 2 Peter 3:18, Hebrews 10:25. And obeying the mandates to have virtue love brought to completion in your heart is pleasing to the Lord. 1 John 2:3 through 5, John 13, 34 and 35, John 15, verses 9 and 10, 12 and 17, 1 John 3:23, 1 John 4:20 and 21, Ephesians 5, 1 and 2. Point 2. Believers out of fellowship with God who live their life by the power of the sin nature cannot please God. Believers out of fellowship with God who live their life by the power of the sin nature cannot please God. Turn over to Romans chapter 8. We're there. We're almost there. Well, I'm almost there. We'll be there, not to worry, although the rapture is imminent. Romans chapter 8, verse 5. Those who live according to the sin nature have their minds set on what that sin nature desires, on the lust patterns of the sin nature. They're living their life by the lust patterns of their sin nature. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. The mind of sinful man is death. This is carnal death. But the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sin nature cannot please God. So believers out of fellowship with God who live their life by the power of the sin nature cannot please God. 3. Reversionists enslaved in the cosmic system are not pleasing to God. Reversionists enslaved in the cosmic system are not pleasing to God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 13, starting at verse 13. And for this reason, we also constantly thank God that when you received from us the word of God's message, you accepted it, not as the word of men, but for what it really is, the word of God, which also performs its work in you who believe. For you, brethren, became imitators of the churches of God in Christ Jesus that are in Judea. For you also endured the same sufferings at the hands of your own countrymen, even as they did from the Jews, who both killed the Lord Jesus and the prophets, and drove us out. They are not pleasing to God, but hostile to all men, hindering us, hindering Paul and Titus and Timothy, faithful communicators, hindering us from speaking to the Gentiles that they might be saved, with the result that they always fill up the measure of their sins. But wrath has come upon them to the utmost. They are not pleasing to God. Now, a couple of things. One, this passage teaches the seriousness of hindering the teaching of the Word of God. This passage teaches the seriousness of hindering the teaching of the Word of God. Two, anyone, believer or unbeliever, who seeks to hinder the ministry of God's servants, today, that's the pastor. Anyone, any believer, any unbeliever, who seeks to hinder the ministry of the pastor teacher, God's servant, he is not pleasing to God. Three, in fact, he places himself under the wrath of God. In fact, he places himself under the wrath of God. Now, I'm not everybody's right pastor. And I may not be your right pastor. If I'm not your right pastor, then you need to leave quietly and get under the authority of someone that you can respond to and grow. But when the colonel was alive and I was going to his Bible conferences in California, he always had one in the winter and one in the summer, I was always there. And he would, from time to time, have me come up and close in prayer. And he always told me, when you close in prayer, make it a long one. Because he had the time to escape. And so he says, you pray about everything you know. I said, well, after the first 10 seconds, then what do I do? And closed in prayer, and here comes a gal and a guy come up, and they said, I'm in so-and-so's church, doctrinal pastor. I'm in his church. And then they started gossiping about this pastor to me. And I said, whoa, 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 whoa. I said, you don't ever, 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 ever malign God's communicators. I don't care if he's the worst communicator in the whole world. He is still communicated. He's in God's hands. If he's out of line, he'll get double discipline. If he's in line, he'll get double blessing. You don't have to worry about that. But I'm going to tell you something. Don't ever, ever spread any of this gossip, whether it's true or not. I don't know. This is, for me, it's just hearsay. You need to, instead of malign your pastor, you need to pray for your pastor. You realize he's on the front lines of the angelic conflict? He gets shot at 24/7. He gets shot at all the time. And he doesn't need his own congregation shooting him in the back. So, knock that crap off! I didn't say it exactly that way or that loud. The whole couple thousand there would, what's going on now? Another Bible conference. Everybody back in your seat. No. I said, if you can't sit under his authority, then leave quietly and keep your mouth shut. Not one word, not one word to anyone. Just leave quietly and keep your mouth shut. Because whenever you, whether it's true or not, is not the issue. When you gossip, malign, slander, or communicate the word of God, what does the pastor get? If he's out of line, he gets double discipline. If he's in line, he gets double blessing. But when you malign him, gossip, judge him, guess what? It goes off of him and onto you. And you get double discipline. How many of you want that? Now, if you want, go ahead and gossip about me because I can use the blessing. So, this passage teaches the seriousness of hindering the teaching of the Word of God. 4. The faithful communicator of the Word of God, today that is the pastor teacher, strives to please God the Father and God the Lord Jesus Christ, God the Son, but not men. The faithful communicator of the Word of God today, the pastor, strives to please the Father and the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, not men. Galatians chapter 1, verse 10. Galatians 1, verse 10. The Apostle Paul is writing to the believers in Galatia. This is in today Asia Minor, what we call Turkey. Am I now trying to win the approval of men or of God? Or am I trying to please men, to be a man pleaser? If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a slave of Christ. And then turn over to 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 4. 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 4. But just as we were examined in the past, and who is doing the examining? God is. God is constantly examining every pastor and every one of you. He's examining your hearts. Man looks at the outward appearance. God is looking at your hearts. And he's looking at the heart of every pastor. But just as we were examined in the past with the result that we have been approved by God, the only approval that counts, approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel ministry, even so we keep on proclaiming this truth, absolutely not as pleasing men, but striving to please God, who continually examines our hearts. God is always examining the heart of His faithful communicators. God is always examining my heart. He's always examining your heart. The faithful communicator of the Word of God, today the pastor, strives to please the living and true God, God the Father and God the Son, Jesus Christ. All right, well, this gets us started into, it's a great doctrine. Great doctrine, and by the way, this is where we had anthropereskos, a man pleaser, in 1 Thessalonians 2, 4, where he says, not as pleasing men, but striving to please God, who continually examines our heart. All right? Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.